We have much to be grateful for, really do. Let's look, before we pray tonight, into the book of Jeremiah, the 20th chapter, if you would join me there. Actually, the last two verses of chapter 19 is where we'll start. So, Jeremiah 19, verse 14, and we'll read on down a bit into chapter 20. Then Jeremiah came from Topheth, where the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am about to bring on this city and all its towns the entire calamity that I have declared against it, because they have stiffened their necks so as not to heed my words." When Pashur the priest, the son of Immer, who was chief officer in the house of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things, Pashur had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put him in the stocks that were in the upper Benjamin gate, which was by the house of the Lord. Then it came about on the next day, when Pashur released Jeremiah from the stocks, that Jeremiah said to him, "Pashur is not the name the Lord has called you, but rather Magor-Missabib. For thus says the Lord, behold, I am going to make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends, and while your eyes look on, they will fall by the sword of their enemies. So I shall give over all Judah to the hand of the king of Babylon, and he will carry them away as exiles to Babylon and will slay them with the sword. I shall also give over all the wealth of this city, all its produce and all its costly things, even all the treasures of the kings of Judah, I shall give over to the hand of their enemies, and they will plunder them, take them away, and bring them to Babylon. And you, Pashur, and all who live in your house will go into captivity, and you will enter into Babylon, and there you will die, and there you will be buried, you and all your friends to whom you have falsely prophesied." O Lord, and this is a prayer, "Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou hast overcome me and prevailed. I become a laughing stock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction, because for me the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long. But if I say I will not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it. For I've heard the whispering of many, terrors on every side. Denounce him, yes, let us denounce him. All my trusted friends watching for my fall say, perhaps he will be deceived, so that we may prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread champion. Therefore my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will be utterly ashamed because they have failed, with an everlasting disgrace that will not be forgotten." And we'll stop there. We've been considering off and on this question: what is the presence of the Lord like, and what is that effect upon his people? We have before us another simile this evening. The Lord is like, he is with me like, as verse 11 begins. And we've considered the Lord is like dew to Israel. He is like this, he is like that. And so many places in Scripture have these wonderful thoughts. I was debating whether to go there or maybe go over to Song of Solomon, where the bride says, "He is like apple tree in the forest to me," which is a much more beautiful picture for us to consider. And maybe we will later. But tonight we have this: he is with me like a dread champion. Now, when you think of a dread champion, what comes to mind? Exactly. That's exactly what's in my notes there. You see that's underlined? Goliath. I mean, this is the man that strutted out, and he was, I don't know how tall he was. It depends on how long your cubit is, but over 9 feet tall, and Israel would see him and just melt like wax before the flame. And he comes strutting out every morning, lay his boast out, come on, someone fight me. If you can beat me, we'll be your servants, and if I beat you, well, you can fill in the blank. He was a champion, all right, and he was dreadful, all right. He was a dread champion, but we know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. He could be dropped, couldn't he? And it turns out, with the aim of God and the strength of the Almighty, it didn't take much. It just took one stone. Now, the Lord is not like that, is he? Now, he is a dread champion, as Jeremiah says here. But you get the sense, as you read the story and put in all the little goings and doings here, that it's not quite like having Goliath standing next to you. It's much more. And it's the sort of thing that we will experience in our own lives, and it's the kind of thing that, let me put it this way. Nothing's going right for Elijah. What's this prophet's name? Thank you. Nothing's going right for Steve, and nor Jeremiah. He's not in a time of revival, is he? I mean, sometimes when I first thought about this, man, we can talk about the glory coming. We can talk about the Shekinah. We can talk about this and that. But God's bigger than even all those things. He's bigger than our revivals. He's bigger than our mountaintop experiences. He is with us in every single valley that we go through. And Jeremiah's in a valley, right? He's in a pit. And God's there. That's the thing. That's what he's saying. He's with me. Now, If you got Jeremiah standing, if you got Goliath standing right there with you, and your name happens to be Jeremiah, who knows? If that's the case, then no one's going to mess with you. But if the dread champion, Jehovah himself, is there, sometimes people can do whatever they jolly well please. Look at verse 2. Pashur had Jeremiah the prophet beaten. Where's your champion? Is he gone? Is he asleep? Is he gone to the chase? Do we need to wake him up? This is what I get Elijah said about Baal. Cry louder. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's gone off somewhere. Let's send a delegation after him. Is that the case here? Pashur had Jeremiah the prophet beaten. All right. And then next he put him in the stocks. Well, you're already feeling black and blue, and then you've got the indignity of being set in stock. I don't know if it's like this, if it's like that, if you're bound to your ankles or you're behind arms behind your back. It really doesn't matter, does it? It was painful, and it was and the worst all. Look where it was, that we're at the upper Benjamin gate. Everybody walks by, and he sees poor old Jeremiah there, and Jeremiah, where's your champion? In verse 7, as he complains about these things, he said, Lord, you've deceived me. I was deceived. You told me to go preach all these things. I've preached them and nothing's happened. I've become, as he says, a laughingstock all the day and everyone mocks me. Now, sometimes we'll go through experiences and we'll just feel so utterly, terribly alone. And this is not the first time a man of God has been there, nor will it be the last, even in the scripture, let alone subsequent church history. But we see this in the book of God, that sometimes it looks like men are standing alone. It looks like they've been deserted. It looks like they have not had any help. But get Paul to stand up after 2 years of imprisonment there in Caesarea, and what will he say? I've had help from God. So I stand here today on trial for the resurrection. I have had help. Now, what was it? What was it? What did this good man, this dear brother, mean when he said he is with me like a dread champion? Let me just suggest some ideas to you. Number one, in the midst of a whole generation that was thinking one way, he saw something else. Everyone was saying what? Peace and safety. Nothing bad is ever going to happen. We are Jerusalem. We have the temple of God. And Jeremiah said, not so fast. The Babylonians are going to come and just mow us down. And he just stood there and said this for years while the people laughed at him. But he saw the truth, didn't he? And he spoke the truth. What does he say? If I keep this in, if I don't say it in my heart, this is verse 9. In my heart, it's a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it in. I cannot endure it. Paul saying, God help me if I don't say it. I've got to say it. I've got to preach it. I've got to declare it. That's help. You ever listen to false teachers? I mean, not intentionally, like, boy, I want to hear me some error today. But you just hear some. And somehow it's got a little hook to it. It's got a little pull to it. And you say, how is it that people don't see this? When you sit down and you analyze, you think, what's the power behind this? Then you know what the power behind it is. And then perhaps you hear someone who is 180 degrees different, speaking something totally different. You say, and, you know, he's not nearly as well paid as that false prophet is. Now, what's the deal? I tell you, he is speaking the truth because God is standing with him. Jeremiah saw the truth. Jeremiah spoke the truth. Jeremiah walked in the truth. He did this for years. They say, what does he say in verse 10? They've been watching for my fall. Perhaps he'll be deceived. Maybe he'll say something. He'll slip up. He'll skew his prophecy, and then it'll be proved wrong. And by golly, we'll prevail against him. We'll take our revenge on him. Did it happen? No. No. And so, in the midst of this error, in the midst of these confusing dark days, in the midst of everybody going one way, it seems, Jeremiah had help from God to stand, to declare, and to keep standing upon these things that God had given him to see and to say. Now, ultimately, what happened? He was proved right, wasn't he? The Babylonians came. Now, we could only assume that what happened to Pashur the priest, the son of Immer, as we met in verse 1, we could only assume that exactly what Jeremiah said would happen to him did happen, that he goes to Babylon, there he dies, there he is buried, after he's seen with his own eyes. Oh my, Jeremiah was right, I was wrong. Jeremiah, as we know, is left in the land. How much of the population had just skimmed off by Nebuchadnezzar and taken away? And there's just the poor, it seems, the poorest of the land left. And Jeremiah's there. And they give him freedom. Say, you want to go with us? You want to stay here? What are you going to do? And I don't know how he gets that favor in the sight of this Babylonian general, but he does get this. Well, we know. The Lord blesses him, doesn't he? And what he says in verse 11 is proved true at the end of it all. The Lord was indeed with me. He was like a dread champion. Error did not touch him. Falsehood did not dare do what it wanted to do to the man. You know, I thought about this. Here we are in so-called Holy Week. This is the time when we're thinking about Jesus going to the grave, Jesus going to the cross, Jesus going to death, and if we were there, we would be like Peter and James and John with all of our might trying to stop him. And we'd say, no, Lord, you can't. You are our champion. And if you do this, then we are undone. And what is the happy answer to that? He goes. It's his Father's will. And he chooses it himself, and he goes until he becomes a curse. He becomes sin for us. God pours out his wrath on his son, and he dies the death of a common criminal, an uncommon criminal. And 3 days later, he rises from the dead. And we have one who is with us now, who is the victor over death and the grave. He's conquered old age. He's conquered entropy. He's conquered all the stuff that pulls the tent down, you know, and cuts the cords and rips up the stake. He's conquered all of that. And he's gone to prepare a house for us. And in the meantime, he is with us like we see him in the Revelation. And he says to us, like he says to all of those churches, I have the keys of death and of Hades. Do not fear. And the Lord, as we are proving in our difficult times, the Lord is with us like a dread champion, just as he was with Jeremiah in his own difficult time. It's encouraging, isn't it? Oh, we need the Lord to come. Yes, we do. We need revival. Oh, yes, we do. In the meantime, he's with us like a dread champion.